from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-700-6898. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-700-6898. That's 800-700-6898. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-700-6898. 800-700-6898.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. You're listening live, and you can listen anywhere. Of course, on 92.9 FM, ESPN, 680 AM. Also, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Make sure you download that. You can also rewind if you missed any segment. Hear all the great content right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is a man that covers the preps, 901FC, Liberty Bowl, all for the Daily Memphian. You can follow him on Twitter on X at John Varless. Mr. Varless, good day, sir.
Good day to you, Jeffrey. I am going to be totally candid with you and start our week off on a good note. We had leg day today.
Okay. We're feeling it?
And we are feeling it. We are dragging, but we're going to have fun and strive to inform and entertain. And I'm excited to be with you.
I've always been told don't skip leg day, so appreciate that. I can't think of anything. I do feel like I do leg day now. I'm either squatting or deadlifting every time I try to put my daughter into the car. So that's where I feel like I about the only spot I get my leg workout in.
Just keep those abs nice and tight when you do that, and you'll be in good shape, man.
There's nothing tight about this bod anymore. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. Of course, it's Monday, so we'll do our usual. Let's do some overreaction Monday. I think the news coming out from over the weekend, we've got the Summer League roster from the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies will be in action tonight. It's the Utah Summer League tonight before they head off to Vegas. They'll be taking on the Jazz. You can see that game on ESPN at 8 p.m. I'll probably need to look up. I think there's also a Grind City media element. I'll do some research on that before we officially state. But I do know you can watch the game on ESPN tonight at 8 p.m. We'll start with that. Also, the Grizzlies made official some coaching change moves, so we'll react to those as well. DeMichael Cole's going to join us here about 2:35. DeMichael, of course, the Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal, host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. We'll talk Grizzlies with him, get his thoughts on everything that has happened over the weekend. We'll get into the list to start our number two. We, of course, had Bronny James' summer league debut in the California Classic. We have a new Ryder Cup captain. We had some momentous, I guess, accomplishments is what I think the appropriate word to say, in the WNBA over the weekend. We'll discuss those. Also, people got very mad online, and we have a new ticket idea for the Memphis Tigers. We'll discuss all that during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, John, I think it's appropriate first to start with the Grizzlies as they actually are in action tonight. I think first, though, let's start with the roster. So we got, I believe this was yesterday, about 5:35, the Grizzlies released the 14-player Summer League roster, and I don't really think there were any big surprises. I felt like the Grizzlies were pretty candid about who was and who wasn't going to play Summer League, and then I think we read the writing on the wall with Edie not participating with the national team. He was clearly gearing up for Summer League. But the big names, I think, that everyone is the most excited about: Zach Edey is indeed on the Summer League roster. G.G. Jackson is on the Summer League roster. Jake LaRavia will also be playing Summer League, as will Scottie Pippen Jr. The other two draft picks, Cam Spencer, Jalen Wells, also on the roster. Local Flair, D.J. Jeffries, will also be playing for the Grizzlies Summer League. Our friend Trey Jemison is back on the roster, and there's some fill out. So I think let's start first here, John. I told Drew this a couple of weeks ago. How you view Summer League basketball and how locked in is kind of an inverse reflection of where your actual team is. Typically, the more into Summer League you are, the worse your team is, because that's the hope.
Hope springs eternal in the summer, right?
I root for a very, very bad football team. All I have is the draft. So it's kind of a marker of where are you. But now the Grizzlies are in this unique spot in which, because of the injuries and because of kind of the lost season that they had, they've got a shiny new toy in Summer League. And then you've also got a player in G.G. Jackson that everyone's very excited about. And then you also have a guy like Jake LaRavia and guys like Scottie Pippen who are fighting for playing time and seeing if they're going to have a role on this team. But I think my first overreaction is, I have no idea how much stock to put into Summer League this season, because on the one hand, let's take tonight's game for instance. I'm seeing Utah people, reporters out there saying that Walker Kessler is going to play tonight. So if we get a Zach Edey Walker Kessler matchup, well, that's a great matchup, especially for Summer League. And it's also, it wouldn't be something that I would definitively make a snap, knee-jerk reaction, football style, based on how he did or didn't perform. But it's a legitimate test. It's a guy that is playing in the NBA. It's a guy that plays a similar position. Like, it's, to extrapolate all the data would be insane, but at the same time, to act like that's unimportant, I also think would be incorrect. But the bigger issue that I have is, it all kind of comes back to the same struggle that I've had with trying to make sense of what G.G. Jackson did this season. Conceptually, G.G. Jackson has given you everything you'd want to see out of a second-round pick. You saw the guy that was highly touted, and when he was on the floor, you didn't have to squint to go, well, that guy belongs. Like, you could see he had every reason to be there, and you could see all the reason for the optimism. But the biggest issue that I've had with all of this, and even particularly with how I'm going to feel about Zach Edey, is we saw a very stark contrast last year in the 9 games we got with Ja Morant. We saw a very different team, and we saw that playing with Ja is, A, that's the whole goal. It's like, how are these things going to fit around Ja? But when you don't really have a lot of sample of Ja being on the floor with these guys, it's tough to make much of a judgment because the team looks so fundamentally different. So I think that's kind of been my biggest overreaction is I understand when people get excited and want to watch Summer League. There's not much on the TV right now. So if you want to get excited and watch, but I think that's kind of my overreaction is I'm struggling to, and maybe it's one of those things that you'll know it when you see it. When you watch it, you know you'll have the reaction, but I'm struggling to determine what the appropriate amount of excitement and really analysis to put into what we're going to watch.
Yeah, no, this is, I agree with you. Copa America is not doing it for you, eh, Jeffrey?
Well, I saw Rob Stone got interviewed and he's like, as soon as America was knocked out, he's like, you could hear every executive at Fox just like put their head down. And I've enjoyed it. I mean, but it's also kind of, it's something that I put like it's its own kind of little novelty. I've enjoyed it, but at the same time, like I'm not deeply invested in it. It has been more of, I view it a lot like watching baseball in June and July where I have it on, I'm paying attention, but I'm not exactly getting emotionally invested one way or the other.
No, I know, and the Grizzlies are something, you know, everybody in town is emotionally invested in, and it's going to be really interesting to see how things play out tonight. I mean, I you know, you started with the Zach Edey Walker Kessler matchup. I would submit to you and the listening audience that I probably outside of Bronny James, I think there will be more media anticipation and more media scrutiny and more social media, you know, back and forth over Zach Edey than perhaps any other rookie, you know, in the summer league. I think what he does is going to be scrutinized. It's probably going to be over scrutinized, you know, and like you said, you know, he's going to be going against an established NBA veteran center, a guy with a track record of success, a guy, you know, that's very skilled, similar size. So it's going to be a good matchup right out of the box. My fear is that, you know, whatever he does or doesn't do is going to be, you know, magnified and used as like a referendum, you know, right out of the gate. And I think that's not fair to him, not fair to the Grizzlies. And, you know, ultimately Summer League is what it is. But I do think we'll see some overreactions based on Zach Edey's performance tonight, whether, you know, one way or the other.
I think you're 100% correct. Edey is going to fall into the camp. We see it more in the NFL and particularly like with draft Twitter, where everyone views, like Tua is the perfect example. A lot of people had strong opinions one way or the other about Tua Tagovailoa. And it feels like every time Tua plays a game, it's draft Twitter either defending or it's like defend your take or like doubling down. And so I do think with Edey in particular, while I think a lot of the quote unquote criticism was over amplified, you didn't really see, like, Kristen Peek was very critical of the pick. But for the most part, I actually thought a lot of the national reaction was fairly positive.
It was, but I think it took time to get there. I think it took a full two seasons of him being National Player of the Year to get there. But you're right. It eventually did get there, and now we're going to see, you know, how he translates to an NBA game and an NBA offense and an NBA system. And we'll see what, you know, if we can see what the Grizzlies kind of saw in their vision for him to exist into the existing core. But yeah, you're right. The whole social media aspect of it is, you know, it's way overblown. A lot of the criticism of him, I think, was unfair. I think it was, you know, almost of a personal nature. You know, how does he, you know, he looks like, you know, what does he look like? You know, how does he get up and down the floor? And it, you know, you can't put any stock into that. It's unfair. And it's the way it is, though. It's the world we live in today. It's, you know, everybody's quick to fire off their takes, and that's what we get. And I think we'll get more of that tonight if he goes out there and, you know, Walker Kessler, you know, puts it on him a little bit, and it'll go the other way. You know, people will be validating their opinion if he goes out there and has a good game.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, in the sense that it felt like, because I had started to talk myself into it. I remember, because I was pretty vocal, even from the beginning, last month or so, a couple months, if the Grizzlies took Edey at 9, I would be fine with it. Would would it be the ideal scenario? No, the ideal scenario for me was to take Klingon at 9. That was not possible.
No.
And so then it became a situation of, I think what people started to realize is, unlike oftentimes when you're picking in the lottery, you're usually trying to build a bad team into a good team.
Right.
And so the Grizzlies are not in that spot. The Grizzlies are in this unique moment where they have a top 10 pick with a team that they're hoping to return next season that would be good, but they have a glaring hole. And it also started to become pretty obvious to me. I remember when we were around the trade deadline, and, you know, what do you do during a bad season? You kick around trades because, hey, watching the team wasn't really a ton of fun. And so you also knew, okay, well, this isn't like when we're on DeLon Wright triple-double watch because there's no hope. Like, the Grizzlies knew, hey, get Ja back, get everybody back healthy, and just view this as a gap year. But the Grizzlies did have a glaring hole, and the more that you started to kick around trades, other players, you started to realize very quickly those situations probably weren't that likely to happen. They were either going to have financial constraints, trying to find a trade partner is difficult because very rarely in the NBA do you have one team with a need and another team, and you finding a trade partner where everyone agrees, like, we need this, you need that. It just doesn't work that frequently. It doesn't happen that frequently. And so as you started to realize, okay, what were the avenues going to be to replace the center, you started to recognize, all right, this draft's got two big guys, one in which I think clearly everyone had ranked ahead with Klingon. But then you started to realize, unless the Grizzlies are going to be able to trade up, that probably wasn't going to happen because his floor is at 7. We find out the Grizzlies did try to trade up, but other people valued Klingon. And so then when you start to go, well, what do the Grizzlies need? Well, the Grizzlies need someone that can pick up the rebounding slack because Jaren is, I think at this point we can just say he's never going to be a dominant rebounder.
No.
He's still exceptionally useful on the defensive end and is the like fulcrum of the defense, but at the same time, he's not going to do that one thing. All right, I trust that Edie can do that. Ja has always seemed to operate at his best with a guy, a big that can truly set a high screen and give him some space to get going downhill. Zach Edey can clearly do that. I think he provides all the things that Steven Adams provided, and I think he's got a little bit higher ceiling offensively because I think he can finish at the rim and you don't have to be worried about getting fouled and shooting 38% from the free throw line. That's not a concern. And it felt like the national people started to realize, okay, that's what the Grizzlies were going for. Like, they are, you only have 3 ways to build a roster in the NBA. You can do it through the draft, you can do it through free agency, and do it through trades. Free agency didn't seem to be a legitimate option. And we also saw this year, free agency was very watered down. And I think that's a direct reflection of the CBA. And oftentimes when you're trying to do it in free agency, you're overpaying. And the Grizzlies financially were not going to really be in a position to overpay. And so then you start to realize, okay, there's not a lot of trades. You thought Allen may be a good fit from the Cavs, but it seems like the Cavs are saying, hey, we've got a good team. Let's try to see if we can make it work. And so then you fall back to the draft's the only way to plug this hole, and Edey made sense. And I think you started to realize other people kind of started to come around to it, but it took them a little bit longer, and obviously we're in front of it because we've been thinking about it longer from the Grizzlies' perspective.
Yeah, no, that really all makes sense, and on paper, you know, the addition of Edey does make tremendous sense. I mean, you know, in the ways that you outlined, I think you know, it's going to be interesting, like I said, to see how he blends in with his existing core, but I visualize the best version of Zach Edey next season will be, you know, kind of like a somewhat less athletic Derek Lively. I mean, I think he can fill that role for the Grizzlies. Lively was a tremendously productive rookie, I think, for Dallas this year. You know, obviously they're not the same type of player. You know, Derek Lively's, you know, more springier, more athletic, and can do some different things. But, you know, similarly, I think they have a similar blueprint, and I think the best version of Zach Edey this year would be something that kind of approximates that. I mean, and you're right. You draft at the number nine position. Typically, you need somebody to come in that's going to contribute immediately. I expect him to contribute. I don't think he needs to contribute, 20 points and 10 rebounds every game for it to go down as a successful pick. You know, he comes in and contributes, 8 or 10 points, 8 or 10 rebounds every game. You know, like you said, he's Jaren Jackson's kind of back up on defense. He, protects the rim, stays out of foul trouble, makes his shots when he gets the ball in his hands. I think that would spell success. And I mean, and it kind of sounds like a low bar for such a talented player. But if it's into what you're saying about what they need on the team, it's just more of a need thing than a player thing necessarily.
I mean, at the absolute best case, the Grizzlies are asking Zach Edey to be their fourth best player. And that's realistically not what they're asking.
Yeah.
If you think about it in these terms, they basically, I would much rather, with the number nine pick, try to find a quality role player than I'm trying to find someone that I can build the entire, someone that's going to be a part of my core.
Right.
Because I think that Edey, when you start to take the step back and you realize the Grizzlies are not asking him to be like the focal point of their offense or even the focal point of their defense. They're asking him to play a very specific role, and he has the skill set that can do that.
Yeah.
Now, the tact is, if there are no questions, I mean, we're going to find out whether or not the legitimate concerns of can he stay on the floor and play defense, is that going to be something that we'll watch? I just don't know if Summer League is going to give us that answer. And for me, I'm going to kind of take a Summer League pledge and try to not overreact to that, because what I care about with Edey is what is he going to look like when he's on the floor with Ja Morant. We're not going to see that until the fall.
Right, and I'll be curious to see what DeMichael Cole says about this. I mean, in the Summer League, don't you feel like, Jeffrey, he's going to be, maybe the primary option or maybe the secondary option on offense? I mean, how are you kind of looking at that, to your point,
yeah,
about he's going to look totally different in the summer compared to what we get with the full team. Where do you think his option status, I guess, is going to be in the summer league?
So that is actually something I'm excited to watch tonight, because if you just kind of think through it of, okay, if you're ranking the talent on the roster, well, he's going to be one of the two or three best players.
Yeah.
And I am more curious to know, though, are they trying to get him ready for the specific role that he's going to play this summer? Or are they sitting there going, hey, man, like, get your feet wet.
Yeah.
And just go out and play. And oftentimes what we see in summer league, there's not a ton of organization. They're not trying to go through every single set that they're going to run or every defensive look that they're going to have. They just want to get the guys out on the floor, get them a little bit more comfortable. I'm curious to see if that is the case, because if it's the latter, hey, go out and play, well, then I'm really not going to think too much about what I'm watching. It's because I realize they're viewing the value being just get out there and play and see how it is. But if we realize that initially when he comes out that they're not trying to make him the first option on offense, we're seeing, if they utilize him in the way that I kind of envision that they're going to attempt to utilize him in the fall, in the fall when actual training camp starts, well, then I think it becomes more of a process where you can actually start to analyze, okay, is there something I thought he could do? Like, if we find out he's not great at setting screens up top for Scottie Pippen Jr. to get Scottie some space, well, that's something that I would care about. I would view that as something to watch going into the fall. But I think, to me, it's going to be very dependent on how do they actually utilize him tonight and the next couple of weeks.
And I think there's useful things that we can take from tonight regardless, feel for the game, confidence, poise and that kind of stuff, the more esoteric things. I think we can kind of get a little bit of a read on that from the first game. I mean, again, if it's not there, there's certainly no reason to hit the panic button and line up to jump off the Hernando de Soto Bridge or anything like that. But you know, if we do see those things, I think it's promising, and I think it's a good sign. You know, again, I know I sound like I have an extremely low bar, but I mean, it's summer league and it's a rookie, and you know, I mean, virtually all rookies, you know, have to make an adjustment in the summer league, and you know, particularly one like Zach Edey that, you know, as great as he is, he's also limited. I mean, you know, we're not talking LeBron James here.
No, I think that's the key for me. I think the only possible, like, if we're talking about the outcomes that you could, or the conclusions that you could reach at the end of summer league, the only one that I think, if we watch Zach and it's very obvious that summer league has figured out a way to pick on him and expose him, that would be a concern for me, even more so than with young players, because we've seen guys have bad summer leagues and still end up being okay. We've seen guys have good summer leagues that can't play. I feel like more times than not, though, if you start to recognize when the specific concern about a player shows up in summer league, I think that would cause some panic in me, because another part of the equation with Zach Edey is Zach Edey was not going to be a project. I don't mean his rookie year is going to be the best he ever gets. You would hope that he gets better just by playing more, and experience would make him better. But part of the Grizzlies' calculus is this is a guy that they believe is ready to play now, plug and play. And so if you start to have legitimate concerns about whether or not he could just be plug and play, I think that's about the only real outcome that I could see that you could reach at summer league. Because the rest, even if he looks awesome, there's still kind of the element of, okay, well, if he looks awesome now, what if it was they were feeding him and they were trying to get him involved ways that they aren't planning to utilize him? You can still get excited about it. You'd rather see that than not. I think that's kind of the outcome that you would hope to see, is you want to see him go out there, look like he's one of the best players on the floor, and head to training camp feeling good. I feel like it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle of that.
You want him to look like he belongs out there. You know, the Lakers summer league game the other night, you know, Bronny James' debut, there were players out there that clearly didn't look like they were belonged, you know.
Right.
Didn't look like they belong. The moment was, you know, maybe too big for them. They just looked out of place and lost and didn't look like themselves, you know. So, yeah, you want to see Zach Edey look like he belongs on the basketball court, on an NBA basketball court tonight. I don't think that's too much to ask. I think we will see that. To your point, he was certainly not brought in to be a project. You know, they expect him to be ready to fill the role they want him to fill. And you know, if the signs are not there after this summer league, then, yeah, maybe that's going to be a concern. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll be just fine. And as long as we, you know, don't lose our collective cools or go too over the top in the other direction, I think we'll be fine as a fan base.
I think that's more than fair. All right, then the other piece of news that we got from over the weekend, and it feels like we've been sorting this out for at least a month or two. I feel like even when Mark was here, we were still kind of trying to sort it out. We knew there was going to be changes to the coaching staff. But now we now know exactly all the names, and more importantly, we now know roles. Because I think that was kind of the other thing, is you knew certain people were going to be, or certain people had been hired, but you didn't know to what role. So the big news that we got, I feel like the first new name, Tomas Isalo, you told me he's Finnish, correct?
Well, Wikipedia doesn't lie, Jeffrey, and he's apparently from Finland. Yeah, so I wouldn't even know how to start pronouncing that name, but he's Finnish, even though he was coaching in the French league in Paris there.
Yes, because this morning we were starting. Okay, let's see. Wikipedia doesn't even give us a name pronunciation, but he is Finnish. And he was the first big name. He coached Paris basketball in the French League and the Euro Cup last season. Coach of the year in both leagues, went on to win the Euro Cup title. He's expected to be the lead assistant on Taylor Jenkins' staff. Patrick St. Andrews, who was brought in last year, he will also be on the staff. Anthony Carter was a new name, or at least a new role, and he is going to be one of the assistants. Noah LaRoche, I know that Drew has written a lot about him. He is going to be an assistant coach and the head of player development. Joe Boylan, who was with the Grizzlies previously from 15 to 18, he had been at Minnesota since 2021. He's returning to the Grizzlies. Patrick Mutombo was an assistant for the Bucks. He's also coached with the Phoenix Suns, the Raptors, and the Nuggets. He also coached the Raptors G League team from 2020 to 2022. Jason March, who will be the head coach for the Summer League team, has been on the staff since getting promoted from the Hustle. He'll remain with the staff. And then Eric Schmidt moves up from video coordinator last season, and he will now be part of the staff. I guess my first overreaction to the new staff news is I think people are focusing on the wrong theme. And again, this could be me in the wrong here. I put my hand up. But I think everyone largely focused on a lot of these guys come from the same offensive background of the five-out offense and a style of play that would seem to compete with what the Grizzlies did with their draft pick, which is taking Zach Edey. And that's not what you're thinking. Okay, that doesn't seem like the best fit. I understand all those concerns, and we can find out, you know, when we look about a month into the season that, oh, well, they were all just brought in for their offense. The theme that I chose to focus on is not offensive style. I'm noticing a through line of almost every single guy on the staff now has a player development emphasis. And I care much less about the offensive scheme. And I took notice that there's a belief in player development. And to me, that makes all the sense in the world when you think about it in these terms. The Grizzlies understand we have our core. We've got three guys that we're going to have to pay a lot of money to, and we're not going to have a ton of financial flexibility. We're not going to be able to just scour the free agent market. We're going to have to identify guys we like, draft them, develop them, and that's how we're going to build around this. And to me, that makes all the sense. That's kind of the theme that I noticed that I put more emphasis on rather than offensive philosophy.
No, I mean, you're almost describing like a Moneyball type of approach.
Correct.
Just yeah, and you're right. I mean, is you know, as much as we all love Memphis and we live here, and you know, it's a cool place to live in a lot of respects. It's not ever going to be an attractive free agent destination. You spoke earlier about the difficulties of, you know, matching up willing trading partners. That's always, you know, that the trade market was, I don't know, it was destroyed a long time ago by Carl Anthony Towns. Maybe that deal just permanently ruined the trade market. It just makes it hard to put deals together when stuff, you know, when teams are asking too much and things of that nature. So yeah, player development, especially for a team like the Grizzlies, may be the way to go. And Marsh and LaRoche and, you know, perhaps the, even this Thomas Isola, they have you know, records of player development. They've got, you know, proven track records of doing just that. And when you look at a roster that's going to be depending heavily on guys like Gigi Jackson, guys like Vince Williams, you know, maybe to a lesser extent, Jake LaRavia, you know, I don't think we've seen the best of Santi Aldama just yet. And as long as he's still on the roster, you know, hope is going to spring eternal for Zaire Williams too. I mean, you know, you just never know what these guys might be able to unlock with these players. And I agree. I think that's key. I think it's a player development staff. And you know, a lot of the talk this morning has been about Isola's offensive ability and, you know, gonna get up and down the floor and shoot a lot of three pointers and do all this fun stuff. But, you know, that's probably less important than, you know, what the staff as a whole is going to bring together on the player development front.
I mean, I do think there's a legitimate question of, do these changes signal anything from the Grizzlies organization?
Well, that's my overreaction to you, Jeffrey. Did the front office overreact in making these kind of sweeping coaching changes based on what they saw last year, which, you know, let's face it, it wasn't ever a fair you know,
fight. Yes,
it was never a fair fight. It was never a fair test. I mean, they had John Morant for 9 games. It was a revolving door of players. You know, most players in a season in franchise history. I mean, you know, yeah, maybe they had offensive issues, but how could they not with the kind of injuries and roster turnover they had? I mean, is that an overreaction, you think? Did the front office overreact here on a Monday?
I'm going to say I don't think they overreacted, because I think you have to think about it in these terms. They also know the inner workings of a staff, and they know coaches' strengths, coaches' weaknesses. And it seems to me, I think you also kind of have to remember, some of the staff was like holdovers, and some came in with Taylor Jenkins, but it was kind of like it almost felt a lot like when you see historically, back when high school recruiting was still kind of a thing, you would see the transition class, the first class that a coach would sign when he got hired in December, and you just kind of put it together. It always felt to me kind of like that, and I think they realized the importance of this next 2 years, and I think that they finally decided, okay, here's what we value, and I think it's clearly player development, and it's clearly going to be at least newer ideas. And I think that they realized the type of staff that they had probably didn't line up with this. I think this is closer to a staff that the organization would envision rather than what we've seen in the last couple of years.
If you're Taylor Jenkins today, do you feel comfort, or do you feel more discomfort at these changes?
I think I feel the exact same that I would even if there had been no staff changes, because I still think that he's in the same spot that he was going to be in whether or not they had made changes. Because if the Grizzlies get off to a putrid start, well, the nature of things is that you got to make a coaching change. I don't think in the sense of, did you hire the replacement? Like, the number one rule in coaching is never hire the guy that could replace you. I don't think that they did that, in the sense that with Tuomas, I find it hard to believe that the Grizzlies are just going to give the head coaching job to someone that's never been in the NBA. And to me, it's like, I would feel much worse if I'm Sam Pittman and I've hired Bobby Petrino. I feel a lot more nervous than if I'm Taylor Jenkins and I hire Tuomas.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I think they would maybe do that if it came to that. I mean, you know, a lot of times the Grizzlies front office, you know, for better or for worse, they kind of give off the vibes of, you know, they're the smartest guys in the room, and I could see them, you know, bringing in an unproven NBA coach if anything were to happen to Taylor Jenkins. I mean, this guy's got a tremendous resume. Obviously, he's a quality coach. He knows his basketball, but, you know, there's all this all the cultural differences.
Sure.
and things like that will come to bear. But I mean, I could still see him doing it. I mean, I'm having David Blatt flashbacks if they do that, but, you know, I could see him doing it.
Yeah, I think, though, for them to do that, the season has to go really, really poorly.
Really fast.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's unlikely. So, in the end, Taylor was always going to be judged on, okay, well, where do they finish next, you know, where do they finish next season? What does the playoffs look like? Like, if they finish second in the West again, or third in the West, and they lose as a higher-seeded team, well, yeah, then you're probably feeling some extreme pressure, because yet again, like, I just think what we're starting to see with the NBA is it is just becoming more and more where the playoff results are what impacts everybody and how you feel about it. Let's ask some of these questions to DeMichael Cole. We'll do that next. We'll take a break. DeMichael will join us when we come back on the next side. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company on 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
I guess let's start here, DeMichael. I'll let you, dealer's choice. You want to talk coaching staff or you want to talk summer league roster?
If you want to start lighter, we can do summer league
let's
roster.
Let's start lighter, yeah.
Let's do that then.
All right.
Yeah, summer league roster for sure.
All right, let's start with what is the question that fascinates you the most as we're going to tune in tonight?
The question that fascinates me the most tonight? Like, in particular, to this first game.
You're right. Let's say summer league as a whole.
Okay. Yeah, that's the difference. Because if it was tonight, I want to see, you know, G.G. Jackson and how, you know, like, I want to see him take control, honestly. Like, he's still the youngest guy on this roster, but I want to see him look like, you know, typically in summer league, you have those guys after two or three games, it's like, okay, they're too good to be here. Like, sit them out the rest of the way. He should look like one of those players. If he's taking, you know, some of that next step. But for the entirety of summer league, I want to see, you know, how Zach Edey progresses throughout this process. One thing about summer league is I'll say take some of this with a grain of salt, not just because a lot of these guys, you know, haven't played a lot together, because the Grizzlies actually do have a lot of guys that have played together on their summer league team because they had 33, 34 guys on the roster throughout last season. But with Zach Edey in particular, as a big, your teammates got to get used to, you know, how to get you the basketball. You know, a lot of his scoring is going to be dependent on the guys around him getting him the ball. And that's probably going to take some time to develop, especially throughout the course of summer league. I mean, you're probably going to see him, you know, maybe, you know, grab a couple offense rebounds, get some putbacks, score on a couple switches and things like that. I want to see how he progresses throughout this entire thing on offense and on the defensive end.
Yeah, I think the other question I have in particular with Edey is how are they going to use him? Is it going to be a situation where, hey, this is summer league, what we value is just getting out there and just playing. And so if they play through him, okay, like to me, like I'm probably not going to put as much stock into it. But if we notice that he's going to start trying to play in the way that the Grizzlies are hoping to use him in the fall, that's when I think I'll take more interest of, okay, you know, thinking a little bit more deeply and putting stock into what I'm watching.
Yeah. I mean, it's because part of it is these guys have to learn how to play with him, and part of it is he's got to learn how to play with them. And then, you know, we know at the regular season unfolds, the Grizzlies will have a better idea of how to use him, like in drop coverage in certain defensive situations. Right now, you're just getting out there and playing. You're getting some run in. So defensively, you know, other than his man-to-man defense, you know, his post defense against, like, you know, when he's isolated against a Kenneth Lofton Jr. tonight, or whoever, or Walker Kessler, whatever the case may be, you know, that's going to be noteworthy. But defensively, there's going to be a lot he'll learn during the regular season. And then offensively, this is a good group to play with. Like, I think we will get enough. Like, I know people say, oh, you know, summer league, it's small sample size and whatnot. I think the thing about the summer league this year with the Grizzlies that's different than the last 2 years is you got a point guard in Scottie Pippen Jr. So it's gonna look closer to what we'll see in a regular season. Whereas in the past, if you watched summer league basketball the last 2 years, you saw David Roddy and Jake LaRavia doing isolations and, you know, taking 16, 17 shots. And I'm watching it, and when I was out there in Vegas, and I'm just like, this is not realistic. We're not going to see this in a regular season. Like, I'm not taking anything from this. There's nothing to get from it, because they're not going to have the ball 7 seconds and spin around and jab step fadeaways and all that stuff. You're not doing that with Ja Morant and Desmond Bain on the floor. So with Scottie Pippen kind of orchestrating things, you'll get more of a realistic view of how Zach Edey will fit around these guys, how, you know, G.G. Jackson, Jalen Wells, Cam Spencer. So I think you can kind of get some real takeaways from this, whereas the past couple years, in a way, it's been kind of some empty stats, and that's kind of led to some, you know, some blind hype.
Do you think the fifth big, you know, we've talked about how the Grizzlies, obviously, with the draft, they addressed needing their starting big, but we also said there's going to be another big that they're going to need. Do you think it's likely that that player comes from this roster?
I think that player is going to probably come from free agency. Because right now you have Trey Jemison.
Yeah.
Like on a two-way deal. So, you know, they have the option of periodically using him, whatever they need be, as that, you know, guy who's barely going to play, but when someone goes down, he's ready to step in a pinch and whatnot. But we know more people want more big dip. Like, I keep saying it's the Xavier Tillman role. Like, when you had Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, if one of them missed a game or if one of them was out, you had a decent amount of confidence that the Grizzlies would be, you know, capable of still playing good basketball with Xavier Tillman. They don't have that guy right now, so I think it's an outside ad.
We're talking with DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal. Make sure you go download the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Episodes are available Monday through Friday.
Hey, DeMichael, John Varlas here. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, John? How you doing?
Oh, not a whole lot. Question for you. One more question about Zach Edey. I told Jeffrey in the first segment that I think outside of Bronny James, there will probably be more scrutiny and more focus on what he does than any other rookie in the summer league. What would give you cause to pause? What would he have to do to give you cause to pause over the course of this summer league?
Cause to pause. I mean, the only thing that would make me pause probably is like, if he was turnover prone, particularly to the double teams. That's one of the weaknesses. That if you go back and watch his college stuff, you watch him against Northwestern, you watch him against, I believe it was Ohio State. Those were two teams where he would have his back to the basket. They would throw the double teams at him, and he was prone to turnovers. And that's a problem that Jaren Jackson Jr. has had in his NBA career as well. And in this season, even though Jaren improved as a passer, this year, he was so bad in the past that he still, like this year, he still was below league average, even though he improved drastically from his first 5 years. So you're talking about potentially having two guys who aren't really adept at passing out of double teams in your starting lineup if Zach Edey is to be a starter. So you want to see him kind of make some progress in that area. I'm really not worried about, like the individual scoring stuff, because at the end of the day, his role will be simplified when he plays with the Grizzlies, because he's going to have Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren, all guys capable of averaging 20 points. But the one area that could really, you know, be a concern, where we say maybe it's better to bring him off the bench, is you're probably going to see it a lot in summer league. Teams are going to throw those doubles at him when he looks unguardable for stretches. And if they have a lot of success in that, imagine what it's going to be like when you play those teams, you know, like the Clippers, you know, like the Celtics, who have a bunch of 6'6", 6'7" wings that can cover up a lot of space. And you don't see that second defender coming, and you're thinking you're throwing it to the weak side corner, and next thing you know, someone's jumping in front of it to intercept the pass. That could be something that caused concern for me.
All right, let's go now to the coaching staff. I think I'll start first, rather than just going line by line and discussing these coaches. Do you feel like these changes were a signal from the organization? Is there something we can interpret from all the changes we saw?
Yeah, the development needs to be better. That's point blank, period. The development of the players internally needs to be better. Coming into this offseason, from the coaching staff's perspective, the two things above all was offensively there needs to be more progression on that end, and the development of the players in the program. These young players that they've drafted the last 2 or 3 years, it just haven't been a lot of movement, you know, in terms of them going to the next level. So that's why you see with a lot of these assistants that they're bringing in, these are guys who come with track records of developing, you know, players. You know, Noah LaRoche, you know, whether it's through his own program, you know, developing guys. Patrick Mutombo, you know, known for developing, you know, NBA guys as well. Same thing with Boylan. So that's kind of, you know, the main area that they targeted. And to take it a step further, why that matters in Memphis, probably more so than other places. So if you peel back the bigger picture here, here's the situation. Taylor Jenkins is a disciple of the Mike Budenholzer, Greg Popovich tree. If you go back to 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, Greg Popovich's staff always had 2 to 3 future NBA coaches. And, I mean, there was Monty Williams. You know, there was, you know, Mike Budenholzer and several others. And then Mike Budenholzer's staff. We know about the 2014, 2015, you know, Atlanta Hawks staff that had Kenny Atkinson, Quinn Snyder, you know, Taylor Jenkins, Darvin Ham. You know, that's 4 guys who became, you know, future NBA head coaches. And the reason that Greg Popovich and Budenholzer's staff kind of turn out so many future head coaches, because they give assistant coaches more leeway than anyone in the NBA. And Taylor Jenkins has adopted that same kind of framework, where in Memphis, these guys, because he orchestrates practices pretty much very similar to how Budenholzer did in Atlanta, where the assistants kind of work with position groups, and they're working with those groups more than Taylor Jenkins working with those guys. So the assistants here have a lot of leeway, and as you see, Darko Rajkovic is the only one who's turned that into, you know, a head job at this point. So with all that being said, development is everything here, because these assistants, you get a lot of leeway in Memphis. You're going to be put in position to get the head coaching job. And a lot of the previous people on the staff didn't really take advantage of that. And that's the difference that needed to be made.
Yeah, because I kind of see it the same way. I know a lot of people were focused on the offensive philosophy and the scheme and whatnot. Yeah. I chose to say, listen, if we watch the Grizzlies play next year and they never set a screen and they have this, you know, unique offense, I'll put my hand up and say I didn't think that was going to be the case. I chose to focus on the through line. It felt like with all of these hires was the emphasis on development. I think people maybe got a little too in the weeds on the offensive scheme.
Yeah, I'm with you, because here's the thing about the offensive stuff. Like, all of that takes care of itself. One, if you just have better players. And like, my problem this year, or really the last couple years for the most part, like, yeah, some of it looks stale because you get caught up in the John Morant pick and roll stuff. But when Tyus Jones was running the offense, they were generating a bunch of good shots, and they were shooting the ball a little bit better. You know, we saw the offensive numbers, you know, as compared to with Tyus and Ja or whatever. So some of it is like, you know, when Ja's in there, you're running a lot more pick and roll, and you know, he's a star player. But, like, the point that I'm making is sometimes it's as simple as you throw it to the open guy and he misses it just because he's not a good shooter. Like, you need to develop more guys to be those type of players who can knock down those shots. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you can draw up the best play in the world, but if it's a Zaire Williams wing three-pointer, you know, or if it's pretty much most of the players on the Grizzlies, it's going to be a below league average 3-point shooter.
No, I mean, it to me, it kind of comes back to the questions that were addressed last offseason where, you know, the Grizzlies' half-court offense cost them another playoff series. Like, I'm like you, man. I don't think scheme is the reason why the Grizzlies have not been a great half-court offense. I think it's the fact that they don't have a ton of shooting.
Yeah, like, I mean, if they were missing a lot of shots in that Lakers series, but Dillon Brooks, you know, he was getting high school shots. Like,
he was getting layup line shots.
Yeah, like legit practice three-pointers, and he missed them. And when he missed them, your three-point percentage as a team looks really bad, but at the same time, it's a guy who just wasn't a good three-point shooter, taking the shots and missing the shots. So that's part of it, right? Like, that's a big part of it. Like, they didn't have to draw up, you know, the greatest out-of-bounds play or whatever the case may be in those situations. It's just, hey, the guy who's taking the shot just wasn't making them. And Taylor Jenkins would say that, you know, most coaches will never just straight up call out their guys like that. But a lot of times when me or, you know, other people in the media would talk about, you know, how bad the Grizzlies were shooting the basketball in certain games, his answer would be centered some around the fact that, oh, you know, we got a lot of shots that we liked, but we didn't make them.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, the other side of that is that's personnel. Like, if you're getting shots that you like and you're not making them, you know, as a coach, that's your job. You can't shoot it yourself.
All right, I think let's wrap here. What's the latest with Luke Kennard watch?
I still think he's back, but I think there's a very good chance. But the main thing is, you know, the first apron numbers and kind of figuring out what they want to do around the roster, because now that Jalen Wells has been signed, you got 14 players. Zach East has been signed as well. 14 players on guaranteed contracts. You can go into the start of the regular season with 15 guys. So if Luke Kennard is their 15th guy right now, now you got to figure out, what are you going to do, you know, with the idea of adding another big, as we talked about a little bit earlier? How are you going to do that? And you're probably going to have to trade someone on the roster. And right now, if you're looking at trades, only a couple teams can take guys into salary cap space right now. That's the Utah Jazz and the Detroit Pistons. If you're looking to trade someone and say, hey, we'll throw you a couple second rounders, those are the only two teams that you could do it with. Everyone else, you got to get real creative. And that's part of the holdup, I think, because if you want to bring back Kennard and he's your 15th guy and you have this idea to bring in another big for depth or maybe even another guard, you know, for point guard depth or whatever the case may be, that's kind of the holdup right now. So I think he's still, you know, back confidently saying that. But at the same time, you know, they're trying to figure out the kinks around the rest of the roster as well as, you know, avoiding that first apron and staying below there.
DeMichael, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, DeMichael.
That is DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal. Right now,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.